Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm very excited for this podcast because in this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Natalie, who I spoke with several years ago on the podcast when she was really struggling with binge eating. And I'm going to put a link to that episode in the show notes. If you want to go listen to that first, I would strongly encourage you to, because in this episode, you'll hear how far she's come since that initial episode, which is extraordinary. And then we also talk about things she's been struggling with lately, whether it's snacking, late night eating, etc. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, the link to that is in the show notes. It's just www.sfinnercircle.com. Natalie.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing all right. Other than I thought I still had 45 minutes.
Oh, because of the time change.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my fault because I was the one who needed the time pushed back. And so I was the one who said a certain time. But yeah, well.
Is now okay? Do you need to do it later?
Oh, no. It's perfectly fine. I actually didn't work this week, so I could have done it earlier.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Just hanging in there. I'm at home this week because I have a work injury. So I'm pretty sure I strained my lat and my deltoid a little bit. Helping a patient. They were falling forward. So I reached forward to help, you know, them prevent them from falling. And there were some things in the way. So I had to kind of like jump over like the bed and the chair. And I think I just overreached and just. Yeah. So I'm home for the week. So I could have done this a lot earlier, but thinking that I had more time, I was like, let me slow down, take a shower, reread what I sent him. Yeah. Well,
I was literally just listening to our first podcast that we ever did together.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of that will come up, but looking at the statistics on that, that's one of the most listened to podcasts that I've ever done. That's a very, very popular podcast.
And cool,
I would actually love to talk. Do you remember that conversation? Do you remember what we spoke about?
I've listened to that podcast 1.5 times, both times at the gym. One of those days where I just was like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And I listened to it. And the first time I couldn't get through it. The second time I said, oh my God, just listen to it. Like, you already know what you said. So listen to it. Yeah. I do remember what I said. I remember at that point, I don't remember the email and I think I don't read it back for a reason. I'm not really sure why, but, I know that there's been a lot of progress since that podcast for sure. There are some still things that are lingering. You know, it's not perfect. It's only been what, maybe 18 months or so. Like, I mean, nothing, not too long. So there's definitely been some progress.
Is the biggest piece of progress you've made since that podcast?
Weight and inches aside, probably the binging. My binging was, in terms of when I say binging, because I know we're going to kind of touch on this based on what I messaged you. When I say binging, my specifically was in when I was in the car in the Walmart parking lot eating the donut, right? I don't think I've had one of those times where I just, I'm going to call it a food breakdown, you know, where I had like a food breakdown and I was just like eating aimlessly out of emotion, I think, like, and not thinking about it and not thinking about it. And I think that's the biggest thing is I really can't remember a time that I've had another donut incident is what I'm going to call it. There have been times that like at night, and we'll touch on this, is when I tend to eat more of the sweets, but I'm going to call it a controlled binge. Cause I'm in the back of my mind. I'm like, you're eating a lot of calories. Like
yeah.
That. And it's always sugar. It's always sweets. That's just, I don't know if it's a downfall or what. And I get pretty creative on making some of these things based on what I have in the kitchen, but yeah, I get pretty creative. That's been the biggest, just kind of remembering.
If I remember correctly from that podcast and the conversation, you would like sit in your car and you'd eat a lot, right? And I don't know you'd go to like fast food places or whatever it was. And like you struggled with being able to control that. Love hearing, because I remember that conversation vividly. Like I remember where I was. I remember speaking to you. And I remember you being in a frame of mind in which I don't know if you actually believed it was possible to change. Like, it did not sound like you were in a frame of mind in which you were like, all right, like, I'm actually going to make this happen. But you've come so far. Like, you've worked so incredibly hard, and you've made such tremendous progress. Like, it blows me away. It really, speaking to you, whether at the retreat or speaking to you just now or just seeing your post, it's like, it seems like a different person. You just seem like such a stronger, more confident, more like just a stronger, more confident person in yourself, which is, it's amazing to see that.
Yeah, I think, thank you. I think you're right. I think we all can still work on confidence and, you know, just being a better version of ourselves and try not to be so hard on ourselves. And I think that's one of the really good things, things I love about the Inner Circle, just from starting the Inner Circle to now, is my biggest thing with everybody there has been transparency, you know, and my posts are just, there are things that I would never post publicly, like on social media, just because, you know, we kind of have that image that you kind of want to keep, and it's bad and it sounds terrible, but you don't want to bombard social media with negativity based on, you know, everything going on now. And, you know, it's just, you know, the highlight reel, essentially. I don't shy away from it, you know, per se, but of course it's more of, you know, I went to the lake and I did this and I did that. It's more of the fun stuff. But in the Inner Circle, from day one, it's always been everyone just being the most vulnerable. And I think for me, I almost use it as like a vlog or like a video diary, because everyone is going through not the exact same thing, but to an extent, it's the same thing. And people are just really afraid to speak up sometimes. And I'm not, fortunately, I ate like an asshole today, or I have not wanted to go to the gym in 3 months, or whatever it may be, because everybody has a period of time or a day or a month or a year where they just don't want to do things, or they don't have that drive anymore, or whatever it may be. And if I'm struggling with it, and like other people have shown in the Inner Circle, and it's helped me, it's going to help somebody else too.
100%. And
if I'm vulnerable in that way, somebody else can be like, oh my gosh, I agree 100%. And then it makes me feel better. And then they feel better. And then we all just, it's like a big hug.
It's so true. And I think that's one of the major things people struggle with, is feeling alone, right? They feel like they're the only one struggling with it. They feel like they don't want to burden other people with their issues. And so I think that is a very damaging perpetual cycle people fall into, in which they feel like they're alone, but they don't want to burden anyone else with their issues. So then they feel more alone because they're not telling anyone about it. And so it just keeps on going in that cycle of just back and just over and over and over again. So, I mean, yeah, I love seeing how far you've come. And I also am very glad that you messaged me and that we can talk about what you're struggling with now, and we can continue to grow and get better.
Absolutely. And I kind of like kept going with it. I posted in the Inner Circle. It's kind of like this order, you know, the ladder. I'll like think about it myself and then post in the Inner Circle. If it's really getting to the point where I'm like, I need some help with it, I'm struggling with it a little bit, and it's not the first time I visited this issue. It comes in waves, and then I finally said, my head was so like clouded. I said, okay, really, what would Jordan say? Like, I know the answer's in my head. I know at the end of this, we're going to hash it out. I'm going to be like, oh, the answer's been there the whole time. I already know. So I think it's just at that point where I messaged you, I felt like I didn't have any more options. Like, my brain was just like A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. And then I just couldn't like get it out. And I was talking to one of my friends and I said, I know Jordan's going to get it out of me because Jordan listens, and let me just message him. I don't care if this is a text or a call or whatever it may be. I just need to like, you know, just let it out.
I love it. Let's do it. Just let it out. Let's talk.
Right.
Talk to me.
Let's do it. Okay. So I messaged you, a couple weeks ago, I guess. And I've had this pattern. Like I said, controlled binging. I'll go to sleep. I work early in the morning, so I try to go to sleep by like 10, let's say. I wake up about, let's say, 5 o'clock. I eat breakfast by 6:30, 7 o'clock. That's a pretty consistent. I love breakfast, and I feel like I function better when I eat breakfast, especially at work, because sometimes I can't get the chance to eat. So on a bad day, I'll eat breakfast, probably push coffee the rest of the day until of what, 3 o'clock when I get home, and then I'm starving. On the times where I'm really consistent, I tend to meal prep a lot more. And so I'll come home, eat something, and it's 3 o'clock. If I'm going to bed like at, let's say, 9, okay, eat a snack, I'm going to be hungry again. You know, like, works, that's a huge window of time. But then I don't want to eat, because then what do you do after you eat? You go to bed. You know, it's not like I'm going and I already showered, I already did whatever for the night. Like, I'm not going to go like just go for a walk. So I'll eat, go to bed, wake up, and I'm like, ooh, like indigestion. Like, you just ate like almost a whole meal, you know, 9 o'clock at night, or, you know, something late. And so I try not to eat too late, but then I wake up 2 hours later, almost 2 hours every night to the dot, not every night, but let's say out of 5 days of working, probably 3 of those 5 days, I'll probably wake up like two hours later and be like, ooh, I'm hungry. Maybe 25% of the time I can be like, oh my God, go to bed. Like, just lay down, you know, go to bed. Why are you tired in the morning? Because you're waking up after 2 hours and eating a snack. And it's not a snack. It is not a snack. It's usually, my weakness typically tends to be Nutty Buddies. You know, those little Debbie bars or like little wafers. So good. And I've been like on peanut butter for some reason. Not really sure why. So I'll like
delicious.
You know what? That's true. And I've never really been into it like that. But more recently, it's been like, oh, what can I create? Okay, so we have some chocolate chips over here, peanut butter over here. This. I'm like making this gourmet like dessert, right, out of like whatever the heck's in my kitchen. But I know on the back of my head, I'm like, okay, first of all, you're gonna feel like shit in the morning because you're all this sugar late at night. You already know. I already know. Like, I know. And two. Like, I know this is what pisses me off. Like, it's not the first time. I'm sure it won't be the last time. So I make this concoction. I eat it. I don't feel bad right away. I'm like, oh, that was good. Okay, time to go back to bed. You know, wake up in the morning, then I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Like, your gut just hates you right now. Like, you should not have done that. It's 2 hours. I swear, like, to the dot. If I could write the time I wake up and go to sleep, like, if I knew the time I actually fell asleep, I swear it would be 2 hours. I was like, well, maybe I'm diabetic. No, I'm not diabetic. Not diabetic. You know, I'm trying to
think. Does this happen after you eat a big meal at like 9 o'clock?
I tried to like see if that was the case, or if it was just me waking up craving sugar. I tried to see, you know, maybe I'll eat a little later, but I'm always hesitant with eating bigger later because just having like indigestion and no. So I tried that for a little bit. I was like, well, let me try to eat heavier a little later or something that'll be a little more filling. I had a peanut butter and jelly one time. No, woke up 2 hours later after that. So I try to like make little mental notes to see what could possibly, you know, be going on. And I just can't, I consistently haven't like made note of whether or not I'm eating a lot or not before bed. I just do know there have been some times that I was successful in saying, just go to bed. Like, you're not hungry. You know that there's stuff in that kitchen. That's why you're going to go over there. Mm-hmm. I've even told my mom, like, God, please stop buying like this or that, but I can't control what she eats, you know, like, this is her house too. And so I even thought, well, what if I just put all the sugar in her room? Because I won't go in there. You know, I won't go eat the sugar, but the dogs might. So there's that. So, yeah, I have no clue why that happened. And to say that it's an all-out binge, it's not. Like, not compared to, like, the donut or, you know, previous. I'm not just sitting there just, like, you know, rummaging. I'm, like, thoughtfully making something and, like, eating it. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm not really sure. If I know I'm not fueling myself properly, 100%. I can tell you that.
Talk to me about that.
Protein, yeah, my protein. I don't eat a lot of meat. Not because I'm a vegetarian or anything. Just because I don't really crave it. Like, I don't really care for it. You can give me a whole plate of vegetables and I'd be like, okay. I would not even think that there was any meat there. It wouldn't bother me. So I'm pretty certain part of that is from a lack of protein. Mm-hmm. You know. And I've tried protein shakes. I do like them. I have some vegan plant-based ones that I do like because I don't like the whey. And I do
that,
like
them. That hurt your stomach?
No. The whey. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So I'll do it with like almond milk or soy milk or water, which isn't really good. But I do like that though. And I do try to find like protein snacks. I just feel like I'm not fueling myself properly, like at work. That's my biggest right now with wearing all the PPE, with all the masks and the shield. And I'm like, oh, it's just more of a hassle to, you know, take it off, or lack of time at work also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that's a big one, is not fueling properly. And since I'm not at work this week, I was like, well, let me kind of dial in a little bit, see what, if I do fuel myself properly, how I do at nighttime. So I'm kind of using this week to kind of see, you know, how that'll work. Last night I didn't wake up in the middle of the night. I thought about it before bed, but I didn't do it.
Wait, so you thought about it before you went to bed, but you didn't actually wake up.
Right.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the little wins. I'm taking the little wins.
So did you have a big dinner last night?
What did I eat last night? I don't remember what I ate last night, but I know. Well, I know I did
sit here until you remember what you ate for dinner. We're not just going to let that one skirt by.
But I do know that before, I was watching a movie before bed, and I did eat some Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Mm, okay.
That was good. That was very
delicious.
Good. It was Netflix and chilled non-dairy ice cream. It was so good.
Oh yeah, that one's super good.
Oh my gosh, that was great. Yeah. So wondering
if you had something sweet before you went to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. And was it in a better portion than you would have if you woke up 2 hours later?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Got it. So it was more controlled, better portion size.
Right. And I even ate it out of the pint, which I try not to, because I know, you know, I try not to, but I was like, okay, you can eat half of this. You're fine. Like, eat half of it and just put it back in the freezer. Like, you're fine. And I think those portion sizes are wrong. I really do. Because there's no way you fit 2/3 of a cup and 3 servings in that one little pint. I was like, no, there's no way. So I waited out today. I ate the rest of it this morning, because I was like, not this morning, like a few hours ago. And I was like, there's no way, if there's this much ice cream left, there's no way that was just like trying to like fool myself, I guess. It was still good. Still good today. Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe if I like forcefully tell myself, eat some sugar before you go to bed, maybe it won't, or maybe it will. I don't know. So I can't say I've been consistent in tracking how one behavior or another, plays out. So, but I'm trying not to beat myself up too much. Like, on the days that I don't, I'm like, yay, win. On the days that I do, I'm like, okay, well, you take you either do the black circle, or you put the calories on the next morning and you just lose them for the day. Or sometimes I'm like, you know what? Just like, why are you adding it to the next day? Just take the loss, get over it, start over. You know,
I think that's a better strategy.
It is. And it does most of the time, because then I go into the day thinking, oh my God, I'm already out 500 calories.
Exactly.
Yeah. Progress.
That's huge. I love that you know that, because a lot of people, this is one of the reasons why I'm always hesitant, because people ask all the time, they're like, if I go over calories one day, can I just take them out the next day? And I technically, yes, but I hate saying that, because it develops a very bad side. You literally wake up being like, all right, well, I already eat 500 calories less today. Yep. So I love that you know that. That's huge. Yeah. What does a normal dinner look like for you? If there is such a thing as a normal dinner. Yeah.
Well, not fast food, so that's a good thing. So my mom works for Bank of America, and they have been providing them with lunches, like, you know, because of COVID. And she's been bringing home, these are pretty cool meals. Like, let's say Mondays, it'll be Italian. Tuesdays, it'll be Thai. Wednesdays. And they're little, like, the meal prep containers, the black ones. Mm-hmm. It'll be, like, usually it's rice, a veggie, and some protein. So typically I've been eating that, and it keeps me full most of the night. If it's me meal prepping something, it's usually veggie, meat, usually like a ground turkey, ground chicken. I don't usually eat red meat, or just chicken. Those aren't on a good day. On a bad day, I'll eat a burger. Be like, oh yeah, I want a burger. But then I'm definitely hungry after that, after eating the burger, you know, a couple hours later, versus eating like those meals that my mom brings home.
Why do you think you get hungry? What do you think causes the hunger? Like, what do you think about about the food you're eating before you go to bed causes you to be hungry or not hungry later on?
The quality of the food.
Got it. Okay. So you think like higher quality food tends to fill you up better?
Yeah. In terms like things that have more veggies, like I can, like if I didn't meal prep anything, I do have freezer staples. Like I have Trader Joe's, meatless turkey meatballs. I'll throw those over some Instapot rice with some veggies and, you know, call it a 20 minute meal real quick. And that tends to fill me up more because I'll eat almost the whole bag of the, you know, the frozen vegetables.
Yeah, they're great. I love those.
Yeah. I try to make sure I have those things. And when I'm on with my meal prepping, when I know like, okay, I could think after work on my way home, what are you going to eat when you get home or for dinner? Okay, well, let me just stop and pick up some salad. Like the habits are there. They're there. I think once I start to go down, I go down for a while. Like it just goes. I don't struggle with getting back on track. Like these things that would have been a struggle 18 months ago, you know, I don't struggle getting back on track. I don't beat myself up as much, but I think I've been a little too nice sometimes.
Talk about that. Tell me about that. That's important. And that's not spoken a lot. Tell me about that.
I think I do. I'm a little too lax sometimes where I'm like, oh, I can get back on track. I can get back on track. I tend to forget. It happens a lot. I tend to forget, you know, one of the rules to the consistency calendar is not to do two circles back to back. And there are times where I look at the month and I'm like, God, 11 circles, Natalie, like 11, you know, that's like, you just failed. Like that's your, I mean, you know, you just forget it. Just wipe off the board and start over. I have started over mid month. I think maybe two or three times. Cause I'm like, I don't even want to see it anymore. Like just erase it. Like just go away. Like this month I started on the 14th on my actual calendar. Cause I did the, kick Rona in the dick before I got hurt. And, and I was not,
you crushed that,
not as consistent as I'd like on that one. I did considering, I remembered when we talked about the, unicorn magic challenge that I couldn't continue to post on Facebook or Instagram. And because I was late, I was worried about people thinking this or that. And I was like, oh my gosh, as long as you finish it, like it's not going to kill you, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's rough though. You know, that's rough trying to say, oh, 28 days, but it took me 40 or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
No time frame, Jordan. There's no time frame.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
It's pretty amazing to see like how much you not just have heard, but that you internalize all of these internalized principles. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. Like you've really come a far way. And the fact that you just brought up the whole part of being too lax on yourself, that says a lot. And I want to hear you talk about that, because I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with, myself included, in many, many ways. So like, what do you mean you're a little bit too lax on yourself?
So let's say at work, I don't eat. Sometimes there's days where I feel like I intermittent fast. Like, you know, I'll drink coffee in the morning and then just get busy and forget to eat until then I'm like, oh my God, I didn't eat all day. And it's 3 o'clock. I'm like, well, I just fasted. Okay, well, cool. And then I'll go home and I have what, let's say 1900 calories for the day. And I go home and I'm like, oh, well, I can eat. Hell, I can have the burger. I can have the fries and some dessert. And by the time it's time to go to bed, I'm probably satisfied and I'm good to go. And I'm, you know, but then here comes the hunger later on in the evening. And then I eat another, let's say 1,000. Yep. So then here's a circle and I'm like, oh crap, you had all day and you ate nothing. And you just like, it just went to shit, you know? So then the next day comes and let's say the same thing happens, or I just decide I want a fourth of a chocolate cake that day. I think my principles have kind of a little more lax on it. My consistency during the Unicorn Strong, from what I remember, was pretty good. Cause you have that fire under your ass, you know, you're like, oh, I'm good. I'm seeing the progress. And, and I kind of remember those things. So I listened to a majority of your podcasts. Sometimes I look at them like, oh, is this relevant to how I'm feeling today? Or, you know, or just kind of listen to them while I'm in the shower or whatever it may be. And, I don't know. I don't think I've lost that fire, but I do know it's a little dim right now. It's a little dim.
I very much get that.
Yeah. Because I think overall, I think it's been about 35 pounds, maybe about 35 inches. So it's been quite a bit, you know, and
Oh my
I've
God.
Gained a little back, you know, but my clothes still feel a little okay. But I'm losing my train of thought, but just been lax in the sense that I don't think I'm remembering why I started this. Like, I'm getting comfortable in how I'm looking. Mm-hmm. Although I do know I still want to lose more.
Mm-hmm.
But I can look in the mirror, and I'm not saying I'm 100% happy with myself, but I do know I don't feel like a fat piece of shit like I quoted myself in that email, you know, however long ago it was.
Yeah.
I can look at myself and be like, okay.
Damn.
You look,
yeah.
All right. Okay. But I do know that I want to look at myself and feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my principles or the rules I've had, my bright lines, things that I feel like I had in the beginning, mm-hmm. With Unicorn Strong and with that motivation, with all of that in the beginning where you see all of your progress, I don't think that's there as much because naturally it's going to be slower because I've lost all of the weight up front, or it feels like it's up front. So I know these things. It's like in my head, it's like this little Bible in my head that I know what you've talked about. I know what you continue to talk about to people, but it just seems like I kind of maybe lost my way a little bit. Maybe just got too comfortable with, I'm not sure with what, but just comfortable with myself, maybe comfortable with being like, oh, well, you lost the weight. You look good. But in the back of my mind, I still know I want to feel better and look better. And I know, and I can feel the difference now. I think I've probably gained, say, maybe 8 pounds back, but it doesn't feel like it because my clothes still fit pretty well.
And you know, there's more muscle and all that.
Yeah.
Well.
And like, I'm like, oh, my legs feel big. I like it. Like, it's not like a bad gain,
right.
I would say. I feel like during the Kit Krona and the Dick, my strength, I was like, oh, I'm getting strong. And, you know, I was not very consistent with the nutrition going through these like sugary cycles. And I knew mm-hmm. that, but I knew from week 1 to week 4, there was a difference.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I wasn't as winded. I wasn't as, you know, I could see that. And I think that also too, in the back of my head, I was like, well, you didn't lose progress, like in terms of your stamina or your muscle or whatever. So I think that too kind of made me comfortable saying, oh, well, I can get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point, you know, that's not the point at all. The point is to continue to be consistent and continue to lose, or, you know, whatever it is, you know. And I even thought maybe I should try to go into maintenance. And I've listened to, I think it was Renee's podcast where she was like, she was a little apprehensive about, because you have to increase your calories. And
yep.
I don't think I need to increase my calories, because I stay around, when I did kick COVID in the dick, I looked and I was like, God, I'm eating a little over 2,000 calories. That was the first time that I knowingly was eating that much.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me a little nervous, but at the same time, I was like, okay, well, it was only like 100 or 200 calories more a day. It wasn't that much, but the number mentally made me feel like, oh my gosh, that's so much more. So then I got comfortable with it. And then, you know, I tried to blame the calorie number on why the weight gain happened, but I know it's the consistency. Like, I'm trying to blame all these things on the external factors when I'm like, you know, it's yourself. Like, just, you know, it's yourself. So I couldn't even be mad at the scale. Like, I was just like, okay, you expected that. Like, well, yeah. Well, you expected it. Okay. Well, so I think, I mean, overall, from 18 months ago, I think the progress is big. And, you know, talking to you and just kind of talking it out with the inner circle, sometimes I'm like, you know what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a surprise. This is nothing new. It hasn't changed. Like, I even thought maybe I should go back to Unicorn Strong, but, well, I just hurt myself. And then the gym, I'm still not ready 100% to go yet with all this going on. And just the sheer exhaustion from after work, just wearing all the stuff. And I was like, this is not the right time to go back yet. Like, mm-hmm. maybe here and there, if I'm like, oh, you know what, I feel like it, let me go. But to put that added pressure on myself to say you have to go 3 times a week.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not the time. Even doing Kit Krona and the Dick, I had to force myself sometimes to be like, oh my gosh, it's 15 minutes. It's 20 minutes. It's not even that much. You probably start at your phone for an hour and a half before, you know, I mean, really, realistically. And half the time I was like, oh, I'm done already. Okay, cool. Like, So it wasn't bad. And the only ones were bad was that last week was a day three. That was terrible.
Yeah.
That was so bad. That was so bad. It just wasn't bad in terms of like exhaustion. It was just bad because it took a long time. So it felt like it was dragging compared to 15, 20 minutes here and there. But I don't know, Jordan. I don't know. I know all of my tools are there just like they were 18 months ago. I think I just kind of lost the fire a little bit. You know, I just kind of became comfortable. And I think it happens a lot. And I'm looking at my calendar because it's right here. And I've been kind of thinking about the three plates and two snacks. But I know for me, the calorie counting has worked. And I do know that about the inconsistencies. And I've thought about it. And I've kind of been like, well, maybe 2 days a week, maybe whatever. I'm going on vacation at the end of the month. And I think what I was going to do is while I'm on vacation, I still want to log like one thing in my fitness pal to keep my little track going.
Yeah.
It's like 500 days, you know, just to keep, I want to keep it going. That's just a little number, but I think while I'm on vacation, I'm going to do the three plates, two snacks.
I love that.
Just so I don't, I'm there to spend time with my family. I'm not there to micromanage what I'm eating.
Correct.
You know, and it's going to be a little difficult. And now I've kind of, when I go out like to the lake or when I'm going out to eat, or if I know breakfast is the only meal I can control, you know, in terms of calories, the rest of the day, I try to do like two plates and two snacks, you know, just so I'm not there. Hold on guys, real quick. Let me log my calories.
Exactly. I love that.
What's going on. So I'm trying to incorporate it slowly. And, you know, by listening to some of your podcasts with like intuitive eating, I don't think I'm there yet, but I do know, you know, okay, well, this is probably about maybe 120 of chicken, or, you know, the rice still gets me, the cooked versus not cooked. That still gets me quite a bit. So try to be mindful in that sense of when I'm eating out, or if I don't even think I get fries at Chick-fil-A anymore. Like, I think I just get the side salad automatically.
Wow, and the fries are the best part, too.
Yeah, they are. but now I really love their salad, like their side salad.
I love that.
Yeah, and that's just little habits, you know, little things here and there that have changed over the past, you know, 18 months or so. And I think overall it's been great. And I think it's a lot attributed to the principles you set aside, you know, the things you just taught everybody and the inner circle and just holding ourselves accountable. And overall I've done well, but this eating here at night is what's getting me. And I even thought, maybe what if instead of going to the kitchen, what if I just put like a little jar of like Kisses, because I know each Kiss has 22 calories. That's something I just know. I was like, well, maybe I could eat three of those at 66 versus 600.
Yep.
You know.
Yes.
I know I'm not cutting it out completely, and it's probably not the best way to break the habit, but I think it's something that I won't feel like I'm cutting cold turkey or like having that mind fuck, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So I kind of thought about that. Like, I tried to come up with resolutions before I messaged you to see what would be the best course of action. And that was my most thoughtful, I guess, the one I thought would work the most. And I haven't done it, but I don't know. I haven't done it. I'm not sure if it's just because maybe, I don't know. I know I don't like walking to the kitchen at 12 o'clock at night, but I'm not really sure why I haven't done it. Maybe I just haven't bought the Kisses. Well, I don't know.
So
not really sure.
First and foremost, thank you for articulating all of that. Seriously, I think you're one of the most honest, straightforward people that I've ever spoken with. You say it as it is. And I love that about you. It's like sometimes, especially if you listen to the podcast, like a lot of coaches listen to the podcast because they like to hear how I speak with people. And sometimes like I really have to structure the conversation in a way to really try and get some honesty out of people, not because they're lying, but because it's difficult to open up to someone. You just say it as it is. And I love that about you. It says a lot about you and your character and who you are. So thank you. I have a lot of thoughts. And we can go through any number of things. I will say, I sort of want to start off with this. I think as someone starts to understand the truth about something, we'll say fat loss. Once you start to understand how it works, it's almost shocking how easy it is to lose the motivation, right? It's like when it's a mystery, when it's like, well, what supplements should I take? Or what are the special type of workouts should I do? Or like whatever foods should I eliminate? Whatever it is. When it's a mystery, it's often relatively easy to get motivated because then you'll focus on this one thing that you think is going to be the magic thing that's going to get you where you want. But once you learn the truth and once you see pretty tremendous results, it's almost easy to be like, all right, well, like I know what to do now. Right. It's almost like when you're dating and you're like on the chase to get someone and they're like playing a little bit hard to get, you really want them super bad. But then like once like they make it super easier, maybe they're just going after you and like they're going after you. It's like, all right, enough. Like, give me some space. Like, I don't want you anymore. Or even we see this in sports, right? Like, I don't know if you were a fight fan or not, if you know who Conor McGregor is. Mm-hmm. So there's a big thing about Conor McGregor who like he is one of the best fighters of all time. And he like went from literally nothing in massive debt to being one of the wealthiest fighters in the world of all the success. But once he got all the success, we've seen a large drop off from him. And we see this a lot when someone reaches a certain level of success, it's difficult to find the motivation to do the work that got you there. And I see this with fitness and nutrition all the time, including myself. If you look at, for example, when I was in 2014, 2015, like I was a very low body fat. I was at the peak of my powerlifting career. And I very much believed that the only way my business would do well is if I, quote unquote, looked the part. And I was a very body fat and could lift four times my body weight, all this stuff. As soon as I realized that I didn't have to be shredded year round in order to help people, in order to build a successful business that helps people all over the world, I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like I knew, like, it didn't make sense. Like I didn't want to put myself through that level of work because it wasn't worth it to me anymore. And I think a lot of it is because once you know how to do it, oftentimes the mystery is gone and it's like, all right, enough is enough. So part of me wonders if any of it is because like, well, now you know what to do. There's no question in your mind. Like, you know exactly what to do. There's no question. There's no crazy, like, oh, I'm just so lost. Like you said, you have all the answers. It's just like you lost a little bit of the fire. And I also can't help but assume this has a lot to do with everything going on right now.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
To be very frank with you, like, I've been the least motivated over the last 3-4 months than I have in my entire life for fitness, nutrition, and business, for all of it. Everything that I do seems so trivial compared to so much going on in our society right now. And it's almost like, ugh, like I really don't want to be, you know, focusing on this, which is one of the reasons, and this is going to get to one of my points that might be worthwhile. It's one of the reasons why I was like, all right, like I'm going to do this mini cut because I need to make a goal and need to give myself a challenge that will require me to stay consistent. And this is something that you see me do this in the inner circle all the time, like challenges. I think they're super important. Yeah. Some type of competitiveness, even and especially if the competition is with yourself, right? Like competition against others is amazing, but I think that's when people fall into the comparison trap. Also, why don't I look like him? Why don't I look like her? Well, they lost 15 pounds. I only lost 7.5 pounds. Shut the fuck up. Either way, it's like creating a competition with yourself, I think, is one of the best things you can do. It's actually going on a huge rant. Did you watch the Michael Jordan documentary at all that came out recently?
No, I didn't.
It was phenomenal. It was absolutely tremendous. And one of the best parts of it, of the series, is he would make up things that didn't actually happen. And like, for example, he would pretend that another player spoke poorly about him so that it would give him this drive to work harder to beat that other player. And I thought that was very interesting because I see that a lot in many successful people, regardless of their field, creating a competition within themselves. To even if they know, like, there's like, for my mini cut, I'm not gonna get on stage and do a bodybuilding show. Like, there, first and foremost, there's no way in hell I would ever get in a thong, spray tan myself, get on stage and ask random people to judge my body. That's not what I'm into at all. For anyone who's into that, amazing. It's not for me. But for me, I like to have structure and I like to hold myself accountable. And as much as I think it's very helpful for people to see my weigh-ins and to see the food I'm eating, it's also helpful for me to have accountability, to post it on my story every day. If I don't post my weigh-in, I'm going to get thousands of messages. People, well, hold on, where's your weigh-in? I was like, it's like, okay, like I really got to do this because this is holding me accountable. And I think one of the best ways to help achieve your goals is to find ways to force yourself to be accountable, whether that's through one-on-one coaching, group coaching, finding a super supportive group of people, creating a challenge within yourself, whatever. There are many ways to find accountability. But I think especially once something becomes not a mystery anymore, once you understand how it works, it's so easy to lose that motivation, and you have to find ways to get it on your own. And that's, I think, where the most successful people in any field do the best, is they actively go out of their way to find a reason to be motivated. And I think that's maybe where we could find something for you. And just in my brief experience with you, like one-on-one, we've known each other for a long time, but we don't like hang out all the time, right? It's like, right. Just in my brief experience with you, it seems like you do well with challenges. It seems like, whether it's Unicorn Strong, whether it's Kick Corona in the Dick, whatever it is, you do well challenging yourself, and that seems to light a fire under your ass. Like, what do you think about that? Am I completely off base, which is a possibility? Is it, what do you think?
I kind of think it's like 50-50, because if I give myself the challenge, it's easy for me to just say, oh, tomorrow.
Yep.
It really, like with Kick Corona, it was like, well, let's say day 7 or something of week 1, and I had a really bad day where I just didn't want to do it. I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to do it, because I mean, work was less than ideal, or whatever it may be. And I know, given the circumstances, I think that's why I gave myself a little more grace, was because, yeah, well, you know, you're breathing into this mask 8 hours a day, and you know, you did this or that or whatever it may be. You know, we're monitoring for symptoms of COVID in patients. Like, fortunately, I'm not in the direct front line. You know, I'm still at the nursing home where I'm getting people, you know, who suspected, and we're still looking for patients who have COVID symptoms. So your monitoring is a little more heightened than usual.
Yeah.
And I think like it uses a little more energy than what it would normally during normal circumstances. And so I try to be a little more lenient with myself to not be so rigid. But at the same time, I know I work well with structure.
Yeah.
But
absolutely,
I can't control work and the structure and the eating. I can control after, but that, you know, it all kind of emotionally, the rest of my evening almost is dictated by the morning. And I don't like that, but sometimes it happens. And, you know, like for a few weeks, I was taking naps every day. I don't like to take naps because it wastes my evening. Mm-hmm. But almost every day I came back from work, it was almost a 2-hour nap. And I was like, why am I so tired? Like, what's going on? But just the sheer work from work. So I do well with structure. And the challenge is, like, with that, I felt like I was too lenient with myself. I mean, to be honest, I really did. I was like, well, I don't feel like doing it today. Or the days I did and I pushed through it, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I don't like working out that late, because then, yeah, you know, you're up a little bit. But no, I was okay. I didn't stay up for hours. I took a shower. I laid down. I went to bed, you know, shortly after. And so those little wins, I was like, oh, okay, you can push through the tired. You just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and you don't. So I, for the most part, I do well with challenges. But sometimes I think I might overwhelm myself if I'm already feeling a little weird about the eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I throw something else on top of that, like, okay, Corona was every day. I almost like that it was every day.
Yeah.
I almost
short,
did,
but every day.
Three or four times a week, where I'll do it tomorrow. And then you're like, oh crap, now I got to work out 3 days back to back.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like that it was every day, short, sweet, to the point. But I do also think, because my nutrition wasn't as in check as I would like it to be, I got a little overwhelmed some days.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I'm already eating like shit. And then I probably didn't feel myself properly. And then now I have to work out. And today's day 1 of week 2. And I already know what that is. Like, and I think that too, like, you know, it was the 1,000. I think it was, right? 1,000 reps.
The 300 rep challenge.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it was. It was a lot of them. I don't know what it was. It was just a lot of them. So I think sometimes I tend to overwhelm myself. And I think that's why this week, I told myself for the next 2 weeks, I was like, let me just go for a walk 30 minutes a day.
I like
just
that.
To get out of the house. Well, then I tend to forget sometimes when you walk, you move you know, your arms. And that was aggravating my shoulder.
Got it.
Hot, like I'm just like walk like with my hands on the side. That's not gonna work. So I was like, okay. I was like, okay. Yesterday, today, let me try tonight. Let me see how the weather is. It rained here out of nowhere. So I said, let me see how I feel tonight. I have a red box that I need to go return. So it's a mile away. Like, that's 30 minutes there and back. You know.
Yeah.
So tonight I'm more than likely going to do that because I was like, well, just to get out of the house, I'll kind of see how my arm does with it. You know, kind of go from there and see how that goes. But I told myself, okay, for the next 2 weeks till the end of the month, you can walk for 30 minutes a day. You're not working all this week, so there's really no excuse.
Right.
So I told myself that. And yesterday my arm hurt a lot. So I was like, no, just lay down. Like, just relax. Just, you know, heating pad meds, just relax. And it feels better today. So I'm going to try to go for that walk later and see how it kind of feels. I do well with structure, but like I said, if work's overwhelming or if my nutrition's not in check, I use it as an excuse sometimes to be like, well, no, I'm not going to do it because of whatever. Mm. I'm finding that it's easy for me to do that a lot more as I feel like I've been comfortable. Oh, I've already lost. I can kind of chill out a little, but then the next day, you know, no, you still want to lose more. Like, and then I read like random posts. Oh, one day doesn't mess it up. 1 week doesn't mess it up. But then 1 week turns into a month and you're like, oh, it really wasn't that consistent that month. Well, so I'm thinking, I'm kind of like brainstorming different things. And right now I'm taking my calendar 2 weeks at a time.
Okay.
Because sometimes I think looking at it in a grand scale is kind of daunting. You know, it's like, well, 30 days.
I like that. That's a really important point.
Yeah. And it kind of gets a little scary sometimes. And, but also wiping it off after the month and a fresh start is refreshing too. So I'm kind of seeing how this 2 week thing works. I don't really like updating it every 2 weeks, but you know, I like leaving it set for the month. So the 2 weeks, we'll see how that goes. And if I kind of like it, I might just go 2 weeks at a time. And it doesn't feel as I have a whole month ahead of me to fuck it up or to whatever. It's like 2 weeks, I can do a week and okay, I did, you know, 6 out of my 7 days this week. Great. Let's carry on that vibe to the next week and see how that goes a little more short term, especially with the way everything's going right now.
So, and tell me if I'm wrong. It sounds like to me, and again, tell me if I'm completely off base, that you want to find a way to be consistent without being overly lax on yourself, without like, you want to hold yourself to a higher standard to be more consistent to help you achieve your goals. Is that really where your mindset is?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause my consistency is the big thing right now. My inconsistency is the big thing right now. I know with the results I want, and I'm not asking for, you know, lean, but I noticed myself looking at like, some people I follow on Instagram and I'm like, man, I would love for my back to look that lean or that. I'm like, well, you're not going to get there by being this inconsistent. So, you know, and I know there's a time and place, you know, and it's not going to happen by the end of the year, but at least by the end of the year, I'd probably be 10 pounds lighter, which will probably make me look leaner and so on and so forth. So it's like, it's all there. And, you know, you see these things and it's not like, these aren't girls that are unattainable. You know, I tend to try to follow people who have similar body compositions and who, you know, this or that. I mean, yes, these are women who probably are bodybuilders or, you know, to some extent. I'm like, you're not going to look like that, but you know, you can aspire to look like something. So when I see this little,
keep going.
So when I see like in the mirror, I'm like, oh, hey, like, oh, there's a shoulder muscle or there's like, you know, like, oh, okay. So that's when you want to keep going naturally. Motivation. What is it? Action leads to motivation. I like that. So then it keeps me going and then, you know, it just kind of keeps going from there. And I'm just not seeing that with my nutrition. I like working out. I like the exercise part of it. Do I always want to do it? No, but I like when I'm in the gym and I feel strong and I feel it's empowering. It definitely is. It's the nutrition, which is, I think, always been my struggle, but do I have a better grasp on it from 18 months ago? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But am I a little comfortable right now? Yeah.
Exercise in general, including strength training, but not excluding anything else, could be cardio, whatever. Exercise in general you have both the long-term and the short-term immediate benefits from the endorphin release to just feeling like seeing your strength be displayed, like literally right there in front of you. You get the immediate benefit of seeing it. Whereas nutrition, it's much harder. Self-control is much harder. You fight knowing that if you have, whether it's chocolate or sweets or whatever it is, you get that short-term happiness from having that sweet treat or whatever it is. The trick, as you've heard me say a million times, is focusing on the delayed gratification, right? Is focusing on at the end. Oh, I don't know if you can hear that. New York City is super loud outside the window. Focusing on that feeling of pride that you'll have once it's over, right? So for when you do the right thing that you're going to be proud of. So what I'm thinking is, and just correct me if I'm wrong, the hardest part for you right now seems to be that 2 hours after going to bed, wake up eating a lot of the sweets. That's where you really are struggling, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So for me right now, I'm less focused on the challenge bit. I'm more focused on, okay, let's come up with strategies for you to like really take action on. I think that's where we can see the most benefit. And if you decide you want to do a challenge, amazing. But most important is let's just come up with strategies for you to be consistent with. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of talk it out.
Okay, awesome. So the first part that my mind goes to is I know you like sweets. You said you like sweet, like you're more of a sweet person.
Yeah.
So for me, one thing that I know whenever I'm like trying to lose fat or whatever is, or even if I'm just like, I know I'm going to want something sweet, sort of like the binge advice that I always have is like, just, you can have it, just wait 20 minutes before you have it. For me though, sometimes it doesn't work when I want something sweet, right? If I want something sweet, I want to eat it now. So like, so what I always say is that's one of the reasons why I love keeping watermelon in my house, right? It's like, I'll have something sweet and I'll say, cool, have the watermelon. Have as much watermelon as you want. If in 20 minutes you still want the chocolate, you still want the whatever it is, then go for it. But first, you are required to eat watermelon. So it's not even saying like you can't eat at all. It's saying go eat something. Eat the watermelon. Eat the strawberries. Eat whatever it is. Then if you still want it in 20 minutes, go for it. I've always found that super helpful, mainly because once you have that sweetness, oftentimes the craving is satisfied. So just having another option there, that I think it's very difficult to say, no, just don't eat. That requires a remarkable amount of willpower to say, yeah, I'm not going to eat. That's just, it's very difficult to continuously do, especially if you're in a calorie deficit and you're hungrier than normal, right? So for me, I found, okay, well, what can I eat that is going to be very low calorie, but also going to be very filling and also satisfies the sweetness? It always comes back to watermelon for me. Watermelon and strawberries, those are just two of like my favorite things. Not to mention, like, even if I end up going over my calories from watermelon, it's like, it wasn't the fucking watermelon that did it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And not to mention, watermelon is the vast majority of it's water. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, yep. It's okay. It's, I would rather go a little bit over my calories and have that watermelon then say, no, I'm not going to eat anything. And then go 1,000 calories over from a lot of chocolate and peanut butter.
Junk,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just like, overall, you're going to make significantly more progress from having watermelon as opposed to going straight to the chocolate and peanut butter. So that's just like, for me, that's helped a lot. Does that make sense to you?
So yeah, actually, and that goes back to consistency. In the beginning, I would meal prep everything. I mean, my fruit would be cut into Ziploc bags. I could grab it, eat it. I mean, so like right now I have tangerines, strawberries, and blueberries all mixed in a bag. They were all on sale. I just threw it in a bag. And I've noticed I've reached for that more than I have other things. And, you know, since I've been home. And I took it to the lake, and instead of like drinking another White Claw, I was like, let me grab some fruit. Like, and then I drink water the rest of the time. Like,
that's huge.
I've noticed that as well. Like, my alcohol consumption has come down a lot more since being more aware of calories and then just overall the feeling of, you know, and, you know, you have friends that are, everyone's drinking, you know, 5, 6, 12 pack. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay with 2. Like, I'm okay with, and they kind of look at you like, what? Like, you know, you're at the lake, you're outside, you're drinking, having a good time. But I'm like, I was okay with, I had one, drank some water, sparkling water, which I've been like on because almost is similar to like the sparkling seltzer alcoholic beverages. So I was drinking it and it really didn't, you know, change anything or, so that's progress as well. But I am a lot more consistent in when I meal prep and it just seems like, you know, you're Monday through Friday when I'm working Monday through Friday, you don't want to make anything after work or sometimes you do. And then on the weekends, you just don't even want to think about the work week. So you just do everything else. And you're like, crap, Sunday, I didn't meal prep. But I always make sure like I have like lean cuisines or something that I can just take to work. Because I know that I'm not going to always meal prep. And I do find that like with the, I wrote down, I've been kind of little notes. And it says, find snack and prepare it. if I do run to the refrigerator, maybe I'll just grab that instead of whatever, or maybe I'll just leave like fiber bars in here. And, you know, if I have to eat something, I can eat it here and then, you know, whatever it may be.
Great. And it brings up a really good topic. When I was younger and I was competing in powerlifting, I would meal prep for the whole week. I would meal prep. I don't think I'll ever do that ever again in my entire, I hate doing that. I hate spending my Sunday afternoon meal prepping for the entire week. Like, there are a few things that I hate more than that. That it's like, it's just literally the exact opposite of how I want to spend my Sunday afternoon. Some people, they do it and they love it. And I'm like, that is incredible. That's amazing. Personally, that's not how I'd like to spend my Sunday. Now, I think if you were telling me you wanted to get stage lean and you wanted to, you know, get on stage and compete in physique, whatever it is, or get like 17% body fat, I'd be like, yeah, okay, you're probably going to have to get more serious with the meal prep. Right. But I think what we're doing right now that I think is very important is we're targeting the biggest weakness that you have. We're targeting the single biggest area that you're struggling with. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? And I think a lot of people, they try and find the overarching optimal plan that covers everything. But the reality is if you just strengthen and reinforce the weakest link that you have, that will radically improve your progress. So right now, the weakest area is the late at night, waking up and eating a lot, right? So how can we structure something around that to reinforce, stabilize, strengthen that link? And I think number one is having a sweet snack, watermelon, strawberries, fruit, oranges, blueberries, whatever, having something like that and still in your head saying, I'm allowed to have that stuff. I'm still allowed to have the chocolate and peanut butter, but I must have this and I must wait at least 20 minutes before I do it. I think that will help a lot. And I think that will reduce the frequency with which you end up having the extra stuff. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So everything short of bringing a mini fridge into my room, I think what I'll probably try first is just not letting myself go to the kitchen. So maybe I will have, because I mean, you can't keep fruit on, you know, out, but not in my room. I really don't want to keep that in my room.
Fruit flies like, and bugs.
and especially because I don't want to wait 20 more minutes to be awake, you know?
Exactly.
So I think it'll be prepackaged, maybe like, hell, whether it's a fruit snack, you know, something or like the fiber one, they have like protein snacks or like just little things that have sugar, but they're just not very high in calorie. Or even if I have two, it's not like it's going to be 700 calories. It'd be like 140.
Exactly.
So I think I'll have a little bowl in my room. It sounds really crazy.
No, I think that's great. And this way you don't have to meal prep. You don't have to do like 35 meals. You can do just that one snack.
Yeah.
That's your meal prep. So it radically reduces the time spent meal prepping and it attacks the weakest link in the chain.
And I've learned that prepping as well. I know I don't like doing the whole week.
Oh, it sucks. I hate it. That's not how
I'll do like 3 days. me either.
I know some people like meal prepping like a few days in advance. And I think that's a little bit more realistic. Maybe do it Sunday and Wednesday. But even then, like, I like cooking and eating my meal that I'm cooking now. Like, I don't like having everything planned out and then reheating the meal. Again, some people love that, but I just don't. It's just not, I'm not a fan of that for me personally. I enjoy food. I'd like to make my food fresh and eat it when I make it. So I think for finding the most realistic, sustainable, enjoyable way for you to actually do this, make sure you have a prepped snack ahead of time, whether it's some type of protein, or for me, I always go watermelon, strawberries. Another thing that I have, and I've spoken about this a fair amount, miso soup. It's like, for me, my favorite part of going to like a sushi restaurant is always the miso soup. Like, I love miso soup. Do you like it? Have you had that at all?
I've never had it, no.
Oh my God. You've never had miso soup?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, never. The first time I think I even heard of it was when you had mentioned it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I'm actually, you know, I don't like Indian food. I saw on your face that there was some disconnect there. I saw that, like, as I was saying miso, because usually when I say miso soup, immediate the facial response shows like, oh yeah, so good. But your facial response was just like not there, and I was like, oh my god. Yeah. Has she ever
what does it have?
Well, so there's different kinds. Sometimes they have a little bit of tofu in it, but it's really the reality. It's just a very like salty soup. There's a lot of salt in it, and it's not sweet at all. But for me, it's one of, like, for example, if I could go, I'm a salt guy. Like, I like savory treats. I like salt. Like, if it's a choice between a dessert or French fries, I'll go French fries 10 times out of 10. So for me, if I'm in my apartment or whatever it is, and there's pretzels or salty chips, it's like, cool. So first I'll have the miso soup. I'll have it. And it's only 35 calories or 20 to 35 calories per cup. So it's I get a huge cup of it. And it fills me up immediately. I get that salty craving out of the way, and it's done. And it's amazing. So that also I found to be very helpful, and I like having something like that. So that might be another option if you want. And it's super easy. You go to your local grocery store, or if your grocery store doesn't have it, usually like in the Asian section of the grocery store, they have it. Or like if you have an Asian grocer near you, they all have it there, and it's super inexpensive, very affordable. I started getting it on Amazon because I get my groceries delivered by Amazon. And so it's super convenient, and actually surprisingly affordable. So that's another option. But I think right now I like this idea of, okay, let's come up with a strategy to have a prepped snack that does not eliminate the idea of possibly eating the chocolate and whatever, but it's just, this is what you must eat first. I also want to talk about, and I know we're getting to an hour, and I know you're busy, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I also want to talk about your dinner. I would like to talk about what you're eating, and not necessarily meal prepping ahead of time, but almost making some type of bright lines of things that must be included in your dinner, because I really think that there's a lot of value to structuring your meal in a way that keeps you full for a long period of time. And you even spoke about how, like, when you have those meals that your mom gets from work, like, there's clear differences in how you feel. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, what do you think would be a really good idea to include in your dinner, or what would be some bright lines or things that you must include in your dinner to give you the highest chance of success?
I think I really need to add more protein. And as much as I don't like that, because I'm just not a big meat person. I'm also not big with mixing sweet with savory. So like, some people will like put their Greek yogurt in place of a dressing. I don't really eat dressing anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really big on mixing those types of things. So like, ways to add in protein somewhere. I could, when I get home, let's say it's just an off day and I eat when I get home and it's 3. Between 3 and my actual dinner, let's say about 6, maybe even 7, maybe I could throw in a protein shake somewhere in there. So I don't necessarily have to add more protein to dinner.
Yep.
I can just add more protein in general.
I love that. I think it's a wonderful idea.
You know, something to that effect. Because sometimes I don't want, because I'll have yogurt or oatmeal for breakfast with fruit or something, or sometimes just by itself. So I don't always want to repeat what I'm already doing every day.
Yep.
You know, like having another yogurt in the middle of the day, or, you know, cottage cheese or whatever it is. And here lately with the fruits being on sale, I've been incorporating more fruit. So even if it's just the protein shake and a fruit, you know, something in between the meals, that'll kind of add to the protein for the day. So then when I do eat dinner, I don't have to really change it so much.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, because I don't want to feel like I'm eating 3 pounds of meat, you know, in one sitting. I'm like, ugh.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea. So maybe having a protein shake prior to your dinner or after your dinner? Or is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, probably prior to, because I don't like going to bed full. And things with being successful as well, like before bed, I've noticed sometimes when I drink hot tea, it helps also.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It helps keep me full, but then you have to get up and pee. So that's kind of, think the protein shake would benefit. And I always have protein on me. So that I even have it at work. Like I have a jar of protein at work as well. So
amazing. Well, that's good. So you have the protein shake maybe even before you leave work. Would that be an option?
Well, I take a medication that doesn't let me eat for a little bit of time.
Okay.
So it's kind of like I usually eat, like once I walk into work and I get report from the other nurse, then I'm like, okay, I have about 20 minutes, you know, to just get myself together, eat real quick, and then go from there. I've tried even doing the protein shake during work. And it's, with all this going on, it just doesn't, some days it'll work, some days it won't, but I'd rather eat than have the protein shake. So if my time's going to be spent doing anything, I'm going to eat.
Yep.
So I think I have more control after work than I do at work.
Got it. Perfect.
So I think any changes would probably need to be after work, you know.
Amazing.
And it's
so what is your bright line?
Our window of time. I think I don't want to just say add a protein shake, but I need to add more protein to my meals when I get home, period.
Okay,
whether it be in the form of Greek yogurt or, you know, whatever it is, because I'm not going to limit myself and just say you have to have a protein shake every day, because then I'm probably going to be like, well, fuck all this, and then just eat whatever.
So what if we come up with a certain number of grams of protein that must be eaten as part of your dinner? What do you think about that?
Yeah.
How much protein do you think that should be?
Chicken is what, 26? 26 and some chicken. Like a regular serving of chicken, about 20 something. What a protein shake has, what, 20?
It depends on the protein. Some's 20, some's 25. So it's usually in that range.
I think this one's around 20 is the ones that I have. They use the pea protein. I honestly, that's probably where your expertise comes in a little bit, because I'm not too sure what sufficient would be. That's always been my struggle.
I would say, based on everything you've said, that you're generally eating throughout the day, I think that, as you actually said, protein is a major struggle, and that you're not getting enough. So I would like to have a pretty significant amount. I also know that you don't like going to bed very full, which is like, I want to keep that in mind. So I'm not going to tell you to have 100 grams of protein at dinner, because you're going to feel awful. That said, I don't, especially if you're having some type of, whether it's meat or fish or poultry or whatever, it doesn't take that much to have a significant amount of protein. So for example, 3 ounces of chicken is a pretty small amount of chicken, and that's a significant amount of protein. So I would say I'd like you to get at least 30 to 40 grams of protein within your dinner. Do you think that's doable?
I think so, because typically I try to, because I don't eat a lot of meat, I try to throw in beans, or I try to throw in other things that are a little more filling. So I can definitely do that. And I tend to go based off of the serving size on the package. Like with the turkey, ground turkey, for example, I think it's 4 ounces, and it's, I don't know the amount of protein, but it's around 20, you know, something around there.
Yep.
For the turkey. And I usually make it with, let's just go with beans, corn, you just kind of throw it all together with stuff. And that serving will end up with maybe that pound will be like 6 servings. So instead of getting the 20 grams of protein, I'm probably only getting like 16. You know, I'm not getting as much because I'm dividing it amongst more. But then the beans come in and kind of offset a little bit of that. So I think adding the protein shake will definitely help, or some sort of protein snack that has about the same amount.
Yep.
Whether it's just eating lunch meat and some cheese, you know, throwing that in there, that's already 13 grams of protein, you know, something to that effect. Clearly I've been doing this for a while. So even if it's just having lunch meat on hand or something to just curb, to add to that protein, instead of adding another 3 or 4 ounces of meat, which I tend to just go a little more veggie heavy on dinners anyway, just based off of preference. Yeah, I think so. The protein shake for sure. And then just being a little more mindful about what I keep in the fridge on things I can grab. Like, especially when you're cooking, you know, you tend to just pick at whatever.
Yep.
Maybe I'll just be like, this is my dinner snack. You know, as I'm eating, I can eat that extra protein or just throw back the protein shake.
I love that.
Yeah. So we can, I'll just be a little more mindful with keeping the protein on hand. Or my excuse is, oh, well, the almond milk's not cold. We'll just throw it in the refrigerator, like, you know, or in the freezer for 10 minutes. Just to be more mindful in general, I think, of my nutrition. And I think eating more protein will help as well, because just I really think that's where it all comes down. Because when I did Unicorn Strong, I don't really remember binging as much because I was full. And I did have a protein shake almost every day. Mm. And I made it a point to go to the break room to drink it. Like, I made it a point. So I think when I I tell myself, okay, like, you, really, like, you know, this is when you're most successful. It's not going to kill you to drink something you actually like, you know. Just, I think that'll really help. And it, I think it's changing that mindset from I'm used to drinking protein in the morning to having it as a snack in the evening. You know, I'm a creature of habit to an extent. So when I have to change something that's out of the ordinary or flip myself, it's a little bit of an adjustment to say that.
It is for everybody. We're all creatures of habit. So it's always difficult. But I think these are great bright lines to have. I think one bright line, and I know that you're writing these down, which is amazing. I think one bright line is you must have a sweet snack prepared for whether it's fruit or whatever it is for when you wake up before and wait 20 minutes before you decide if you're going to have the chocolate peanut butter or whatever. So that's one amazing bright line. I think another amazing bright line is you must get at least 30 to 40 grams of protein as part of your dinner, whether that includes a protein shake or meat or whatever it is. I think those are really the two biggest bright lines. Yeah. Now, my question is, would you like to talk again in a month and see, you look at your consistency calendar with this in a month and just see how you've done with it?
Let's give it a little more time. We can go closer to 2 months since I'm going on vacation.
Oh, amazing. All right, cool.
Yeah. So I want to kind of, and then with that, like the three plates, two snacks, I already know, like I talked to myself about that. I'm going to give myself a little bit of a leeway with that. Fortunately, the place I'm going to, my aunt is very health conscious. So that works in my favor. So that I'm really going to try to do three plates, two snacks, you know, within reason. And I think that's a really good plan. I know the protein shake has always been in the back of my mind, but you know, it's just hearing it from somebody else kind of like, okay, fine.
Gotta do it. Yeah.
I guess. No.
And I'm a big proponent of, I would rather chew my food than drink it. But when it comes to, you're super busy, like you're crazy busy. Yeah. You're working a ton. It's super stressful. And there's no question that protein shakes are significantly more convenient, easy to do. And it's like, listen, if that's going to help on the grand scheme of things, then I'm all on board for that.
Right. Me too. I agree.
Was this helpful at all? Like, do you feel good about this?
Yeah. I feel better. I feel like I knew, you know, you have the answer more often than not. And it's like, I think it's just because you're a listener and, you know, I'm more of a, well, I just overthink everything. And it's just like getting it out and just brainstorming in general. You can brainstorm with yourself, but it's not the same getting feedback and throwing it around. Because the answer's been there. I've already, you know, eat more protein. I said that in the beginning. Like, I knew that. Like, I knew that already. And it's just a matter of setting it in stone, I guess. You can speak about bright lines, and you know, I'm in my head, I'm kind of like, shit. You know, okay. I know I've set some bright lines for myself before, but it's different when you set them for yourself, and it's different when you talk about it with someone and said it with somebody else.
That's exactly that. It's so funny. Like, this holds true in everything. Like, I've always said, Rico has helped me so much, because we can sit down and brainstorm ideas for content that I would have ideas, but when you can sit down and talk about it and you have a discussion and you throw things around, even though I might know what type of content I want to make, when you sit down and have a discussion with someone, you have solidified ideas that you can take action on. It's like, you can know you need to eat more protein, but when you sit down and you and I jam out and we talk about it and we have a specific number of protein that you must hit every day, and we have different strategies for you to make sure you're attacking the weakest link and make sure you have the watermelon or the strawberries or the orange or the blueberries all set up and ready to go, it's it almost creates a much more solidified plan of action as opposed to when you're just in your head being like, all right, I know I should eat more protein, but it's not a solidified plan of action. That's just, right. You know, you should do it. So, you're amazing. I love you. This has been fantastic. Do you have any other questions or anything that I can answer for you?
Yeah, I actually shot you a message the other day. It was just on your story. You're like, you have any questions? I like to bake, and that's probably one of my big downfalls too, with, you know,
okay,
apple pie or apple crisp. I have a lot of apples I need to use.
I love apple crisp. That's by far, it's one of my all-time favorite desserts.
Okay. All right. That's been the consensus. It's been apple crisp, but I wanted apple pie because I want to make the lattice, you know?
Yeah.
Dang, but no, everybody's been going toward apple crisp, and I haven't made either. So I have a lot of apples to use, and I think I'm going to do that. So I know.
Amazing.
It's random.
No, not at all.
Random.
Well, this is amazing. I love you. I appreciate you. I hope you have an amazing vacation. Please keep me posted. And then I would please email me, and we can set up a time to get on the phone and chat again, just to see how you're doing and can reassess everything going on.
That sounds perfect, Jordan. Thank you. Always appreciate it. Love you.
I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much to everyone for listening. Don't forget, if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com. And when you join, you get a free copy of Kick Corona in the Dick. It is my 30-day bodyweight workout challenge. No equipment needed. All you need is your body weight. You will get stronger with your push-ups. You'll get stronger with your body weight. And it is no joke of a workout program. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.